Isaiah chapter 7. Again, I want to encourage you to bring your Bibles, even though we throw the scripture passages up on the screen. It's important that you bring your own Bible so that you can read along, so that you can mark it, so that you can come back later and say, hey, Pastor, what about this passage or that? We really want to encourage you to really study the Word yourself. So let's read Isaiah, starting with verse 10 of chapter 7. It says, and again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and I will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey, and when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. The Lord will bring on you and your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. In that day, the Lord will whistle for flies from the distant streams of Egypt and for bees from the land of Assyria. They will all come and settle in the steep ravines and in the crevices in the rocks and on all the thorn bushes and on all the water holes. In that day, the Lord will use a razor hired from beyond the river, the king of Assyria, to shave your head and the hair of your legs and to take off your beards also. In that day, a man will keep alive a young cow and two goats, and because of the abundance of the milk they give, he will have curds to eat. All who remain in the land will eat curds and honey. In that day, in every place where there were thousands of vines worth a thousand silver shekels, there will be only briars and thorns. Men will go there with bow and arrow, for the land will be covered with briars and thorns. For all the hills once cultivated by the hoe, you will no longer go there for fear of the briars and thorns. They will become places where cattle are turned loose and where sheep run. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, we seek now your Holy Spirit to lead and guide. Lord, help us to understand and to know your will and your purposes. Father, I pray for myself that as I preach, your anointing would be upon me, that I might speak your truth and your word to your people in such a way that they would be encouraged and blessed. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your word this day. Now, Lord, be present here in our midst. Guide us here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Lord had sent Isaiah off to speak to Ahaz. He told him where to go and what to say. Now he sends him again. And this time, Isaiah doesn't even speak of himself as being present in the, as an intermediary, as being the one giving the word. He just says, and the Lord spoke to Ahaz. He doesn't even say that he's the one who was the one speaking, giving the Lord's word as a prophet of God. We assume that's the case. But Ahaz heard the word of God because God spoke to him. And when you hear the word of God, you recognize it. If you study the word of God, if you follow the word of God, if you spend time in the word of God, when you hear it, it's going to go, yes, this is indeed God speaking to me right now. And Ahaz's response to the word of God when it came to him was one of surprise. This wasn't what he was expecting to hear. And, you know, we'll give him a little credit that he had some knowledge of Scripture as he realized that we aren't supposed to test God. And we're warned in Scripture not to test God. However, if your parent tells you to do something, is it a test for you to do it? Are you testing your parent if you do so? No, neither are we testing God when He tells us to do something. If He tells us to do something, it's not testing Him to do it. It is testing His patience not to. If I didn't do what my father told me to do, I was testing His patience. Yet we're told, Ahaz's response is, I shall not test God. He was testing God by not doing what God told him to do. What did He tell him to do? He gave him carte blanche. He gave him such a blessing. And you know what he did with that blessing? Ooh, no, no, I'm afraid of it. I don't want to touch it. He was afraid of God's blessing. And he dropped it. Let me read this first couple of verses here again. It says, and again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights. This is carte blanche, people. He's saying, tell me what it is you want to see, and I'll give it to you. But Ahaz is afraid of God in this situation when God is offering the blessing. He says, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord God to the test. He's rejecting God's blessing here. God's saying, tell me what you want. What do I want to see? And I will show it to you. God doesn't do trick questions or bait and switch things. This isn't a trick on God's part to try to trip him up. Now, with people, that wouldn't necessarily be the case, now, would it? Well, just tell me what it is you want, and I tell you what it is, and then you get mad at me. Anybody ever been one of those? Somebody says, go ahead, you tell me what it is you want, and, okay, this is what I want. Well, if that's what you want. Am I the only one that's experienced that? No, I see a couple nodding heads. A few of us have experienced that kind of thing. Few of us have maybe done that kind of thing. I'm not going to ask for any nodding heads or hands on that one, but that's the way people react. But that's not God. When God says something, He means it. You're not going to tell Him something that's going to surprise Him. He already knows. It's for our benefit. It's not His benefit. God doesn't do that trick question, that bait and switch. He doesn't have to. So when God lays it out there and says, what do you want? Just ask it. First off, listen to what He's saying. Then obey and do what it is He's asking, and then trust He's going to follow through. In the previous section that we just read last week, as I preached through this, what we saw is that it ends with, if you do not stand firm, your faith will not stand at all. We need to stand on God and trust in Him. But in order to trust in Him, we have to listen to what He's saying. And then we have to obey what it is that He's telling us to do. Then we can stand and we can trust. We need to trust that he will fall through, because he doesn't do the trick question. He doesn't do the bait and switch. God gives what he says he's going to do. Well, Ahaz actually tested God. He tested his patience by not obeying and laying it out there for him. Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also?" Are you going to try God's patience when he speaks to you and he says, "This is what I want you to do"? You say, "No." And then we try to come back with a godly reason why not. It is never wrong to do what it is God has instructed us to do. It is never wrong to do what God is instructing us to do. How do I know it's God? First off, by spending time in his word, by prayer, by listening to him, becoming intimately acquainted with him and his word, so that when he does tell you what to do, you go, "Yeah." Now, God does not contradict himself. So we look at his word, tells us what it tells us to do, if it's in line with his scripture. The Holy Spirit is there saying, "Yes, this is him." Then I'm going to say, "That is most likely God." And we can trust in that. When can we not trust in it? When we run it through God's word and it doesn't come out. When it doesn't come through as whole. Then it's not God's word. But God is telling Ahaz, "Trust me. Tell me what it is. Do what it is I'm telling you." He is the king of Jerusalem. He could have blessed his nation. It was there for him. Now, God still has a blessing, but because of the disobedience, guess what? If you disobey your parent, at least when I was a child, guess what I got? Discipline. This is what is going to happen to Israel. And we're talking some serious correction here. Maybe even judgment. But first we start with a promise. Then we end with a promise. But look here, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us. The virgin's going to be with a child. Immaculate conception. Anybody know any stories in the Bible that have anything to do with maybe this passage? Yes. This is one of the first promises we have of the birth of Christ that tells how he's going to come. And we see it referred to here in the next two chapters. That God will be with us. Now what's going to happen? What's happening next is he's going to describe a very terrible discipline, judgment, that's going to come against the people of Jerusalem, people of Judah. But before he told them that, he told them that God will be with you. Emmanuel. They're not going to be alone. We hear a testimony this morning. Eva, Butch, Jamie, Sedaria. Um, Jason, you know, of God being with in the midst of difficulties. When there's problems, God doesn't disappear. He doesn't go away. But yet things get really bad. Things get tough. Things get downright awful. When we read through this next section, what we find is that things are going to get rough. And the instrument of that judgment, that discipline that God is bringing, and he's very clear that he's the one bringing it, is Assyria, who is the boogeyman of the day. The kingdom of Assyria was the group you didn't mess with. These were the people that were known for that day of being the most cruel, of being the most ruthless kingdom and people out there. When they came to get you, that was it. It was no hold barred. Okay? They didn't have nice little rules of engagement that, you know, well, you can't touch the non-combatants or this, that. Non-combatants, there's no such thing. Guess what? Your loot. Your booty. Somebody just took you prisoner. You're now my property. That's why they came. Well, that's not a very welcome thought. It's downright frightening. Yet this is the instrument that God is going to use to discipline his people. But he wants to remind them, even throughout the discipline, he's going to be there, Emmanuel. Also, as we come through and we see in verse 20, it says, in that day the Lord will use a razor hired from beyond the river, the king of Assyria, to shave your head and the hair of your legs and to take off your beards also. I don't know if I want some guy coming in with a shaving me down. Now, why did they do that? Well, then they knew who the slaves were. And they weren't very gentle about it. Probably end up a bloody mess during this whole shaving process. It's a humiliation. But immediately after that, it goes on into verse 21. It says, in that day, again how we started in verse 20, in that day, verse 21, in that day, a man will keep alive a young cow and two goats. And the milk they give, he will have curds to eat. All who remain in the lands will have curds and honey. We'll eat curds and honey. Well, in the midst of this devastation, in the midst of the destruction and the humiliation and the persecution and all the difficulties that are going to come against them, there will yet be blessing. God will be there taking care of them, providing for that which they do truly need. Sustenance. Anybody here able to live without food? Not so much. We need it. Some of us need more than others. Some of us sometimes take a little bit more than we need. But the fact of the matter is that we do need it. You can't live without food. I can live without a lot of things. It is indeed possible to live without the internet or a cell phone. It's possible to live without electricity. This is truth. It is even possible to live without indoor plumbing. It's not necessarily the most pleasant way to live, but you know what? There are a lot of people out in this world that live exactly that way. They don't have any of those things. And they live. And you know what? They can and will have the joy of the presence of the Lord if they'll just receive it. Because you don't need the stuff. All you need is God. And He will provide that which you do truly need. In the midst of all this, there will be blessing. That doesn't mean that everything is coming up roses, people. That doesn't mean that everything is enjoyable. The land is now full of thorns. What was a well-manicured and developed agricultural society with olive groves and with vineyards. You know, these are not things that grow up in just one season. These take years to put together. You gotta build walls, you gotta terrace things, you gotta make sure they got the good water sources, you gotta plant the vines, you gotta plant the trees and allow for them to grow up. And all this stuff, it's gone. What you got now? Thorns and brambles. Instead of a nice vineyard, it's now a place where you let the goats and the sheep and the cows go to find something. Or maybe you go out there with your bow and arrow to try to find yourself a bunny. A little bunny for the stew pot. Hass and pfeffer for dinner. That is what it was. But yet, out of that nothing, a cow and two goats. Now you say, well, a cow, goodness gracious, Pastor, you don't have any idea how much milk a cow gives? I mean, you could probably give a couple families off the milk from a cow. Maybe one of today's prime Holsteins. Yeah, those things put out 80 pounds of milk a day. Guess what? That wasn't what was given out by the cattle in that day. Our cattle have been improved through breeding programs, etc., and through very, very strong dietary regimens. They get special food. If you don't eat, well, if you're just eating briars and thorns, you're not going to give anywhere near as much milk as if you're eating corn and soybeans and sunflower seeds and sorghum. You know, but dairy cattle, they eat alfalfa, corn. They don't eat briars and thorns. You know what you get when you get a lot less milk. And that's what the people are used to getting. Those animals, this was a minimal number of animals to feed the family. Yet what they were finding, what God is telling them here is that even out of this shortage, what doesn't look to be enough will provide a blessing of abundance. There'll be milk and honey for everybody. The land flowing with milk and honey, but we only got a couple cows. We got one cow and two goats. Well, Jesus managed to take care of, 5,000 people with, a couple fish and a couple pieces of bread. You don't think God can do it with a goat and a cow? Yeah. What God can do is provide blessing and even bounty in the midst of trial and deprivation. No, Pastor, now you're confusing me. How can I have bounty in the midst of deprivation? It's one of those God things. Okay? If you want love, you need to let it go. The other place God tells us to test them is in tithing. First thing I ask somebody who's having financial difficulties, I say, are you tithing? And my own kids, I say that. Well, have you been tithing? Well, you normally get the roll of the eyes, kind of look up and look away. Well, I don't have enough. Hold it. See, you're trusting in yourself. And this is where we get the problem. This is where Ahaz got the problem. He was trusting in himself. He was trusting in the people. He was trusting in get this, he was trusting in Assyria. Assyria was the one whom he was trying to negotiate with to protect him from these other countries that he was afraid of. And Isaiah tells him here that, guess what? Those guys, they're going to be gone and wiped out, and Assyria's your real problem. That's the one that God is going to come and bring the stick down with. Hold it, I thought I made a deal. Can't make a deal with the devil. Not come out on the good side. He was trusting himself. He's trusting in everything and everybody but God. And God says, test me in this and see if I won't bless you. One of the best years of my and Donna's marriage and our life together was the year where she had a car accident which tore the ligaments and shoulder muscles and ended up with her out of work for 1 year because she couldn't work. She worked in a nursing home, state hospital. And so she couldn't lift. She ended up having to have surgery in both shoulders. She couldn't work for a year. A couple months later, I was in a motorcycle accident. Shattered my leg. I was out of work for a year. Neither one of us working. God blessed us, took care of us. Did we come up short on things? Yeah. Did the bills get behind? Yeah, but eventually they all got taken care of. But you know what? We had more food than we knew what to do with. We'd come home and we'd find bags of groceries sitting on the steps. We're going, what's the deal? We already got more. So we're giving food away to other people. Okay? In our deprivation, in our trial, I mean, neither one of us can work. We're bringing home $800 a month through our insurance. We had $1,600 a month in fixed bills. This is before you get into various things that kids do that and need. Clothes, you know. Three boys. Yeah, no, they don't use up clothes. They don't go through shoes. They don't tear up jeans. No, not at all. Yeah. Most of the boys' outfits, she was sewing. Donna was doing a lot of sewing back in those days. She could get fabric for cheap or free and take care of it. God took care of us. Yet that was one of the best years. Why? Because we weren't trusting in us. We were trusting God. First thing I did when I got that check for the insurance company, we'd ran out of tithe of $80 back to the church. Give it back to God. Because we knew that we couldn't do it, so we're just trusting in God. This is the issue here. Ahaz wasn't trusting in God. Problems are coming. Tough times are coming. And he's saying, trust in God. Listen to me. Listen to God. Obey me. Obey God. And then trust me. Trust God. This is what God is saying to Ahaz. This is what God is saying to us. Listen to what he has to say. And do what he tells us to do. And then trust that he will carry us through. And you know what? He will. And not only will he just get us through by the skin of our teeth, but we'll have blessings unlooked for and uncountable in the midst of the trials and the difficulties and the persecutions and anything else that comes against us. If we are listening to him, obeying him, and trusting in him. And I went long. So, let's close. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you do indeed tell us what your will is. Lord, help us to listen to you, to hear you, and then to obey. Lord, may we obey and then trust in you. Trusting in you and then also, Lord, receiving those blessings which you have for us, which are different than what we might have asked for ourselves, but, Lord, are so amazing. Lord, help us to see and appreciate and give glory to you for each and every one of those blessings. As you carry us through the difficult times, the tough times, the times of trial, even the times of discipline, Lord, you are with us. This is what you promise us in your word. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.